We've already heard about Simon Callow and the Man Jesus, currently running at the Lyric. It's on until the 20th. Then it's going to be in the Millennium Forum. So the folks in the City of Culture get a chance to see it as well. But we brought him in initially for My Favourite Things. This is where we try to find out what makes our stars tick. So, Simon, I know, well, you're an actor. You've done loads of proper acting, we would say, on the stage. But you've done the Shakespearean roles. I know you love your Dickens, and you've written, and you fill all the criteria because you've written loads of books as well. But a favourite film, could we tie you down to one?
Oh, I'm afraid that's a French film.
Yeah,
and not perhaps one so terribly well known now. It's called La Règle du Jeu. It was directed by Jean Renoir, who was the son of the great painter Renoir, and it's was made just before the Second World War. It's set in a country house, and it somehow becomes a parable about the whole of society and how they seem to be fooling their way into oblivion. It's the most exquisite, funny, profound film. It's a bit, actually, in its own odd way, a bit Downton Abbey, because it's about life under stairs and above stairs.
Yeah.
And the kind of interpenetration of those two things. But it's the French acting of that period, of the late 1930s, is just miraculous. But interesting enough, one of the stars of it was an actor called René Dalliot. And René Dalliot then, like so many of his compatriots, fled Europe as the Nazis advanced. And he turns up in another of my very favourite films, which is Casablanca.
Right,
he plays the croupier.
Yes.
And he could hardly speak English at all. The French accent is absolutely enormous. But he's enchanting in it. But he's a great actor. And there's, the wonderful thing is about movies, obviously, we have now, unlike theatre plays, which disappear, they stay. They're there forever. And you can go back and see what people thought acting was all about in those days. And it's wonderfully rich and interesting. We tend to favour sheer realism in acting nowadays. But there's something else about those earlier actors, the poetry about them, which is just gorgeous to me.
So that's your film. As I say, I know you've written loads of books. You're in love with Charles Dickens, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, truly. I am, yes.
So do you have a favourite book? Can you narrow it down?
Oh, God, that's so very hard. Actually, one of my very, very, very favourite books is by Christopher Isherwood. It's called Mr. Norris Changes Trains. And many people will know of Isherwood's great character, Sally Bowles, from the film Cabaret.
Yeah.
That's an adaptation of his novel Goodbye to Berlin. Mr. Norris Changes Trains, also set in Berlin. Christopher Isherwood was in Berlin as a young English teacher in the early 30s, just at the time that the Nazis came to power. And it's the most brilliant account of that terrifying event, of the Nazis' seizure or coming to power. And but at the same time, Isherwood creates one of the greatest comic characters in all of English literature, Arthur Norris, with his ever-slipping toupee and his dubious sexual habits and his, in fact, betrayal of the Communist Party. It's a phenomenally funny, exquisitely written, absolutely perfect jewel-like piece of writing.
Does the humour sit comfortably with the background?
Brilliantly.
Yeah?
Brilliantly, because it's comedy of character. And in fact, it's very touching because Isherwood, the character, indeed he's called William Bradshaw in the book, but the character that is Isherwood, is so shocked by the betrayal by this man whom he has come to feel very fond of, by his terrible betrayal of the cause of the left, it puts it immediately into a fantastically human context, and the betrayal of so many people of the cause in Germany, is indicted in the figure of Arthur Norris, but not in any particularly heavy way, it has to be said.
Well, that's a book I've got to check out. The important question for us on radio then, a favourite song. I've been told I can't tie you down to a definitive my all-time favourite song, so a favourite song is what we've settled on.
Well, it's a favorite song, but it's a favorite recording, mm-hmm. I have to say. And in my mind, the two things are absolutely indistinguishable in this case. It's that brilliant young singer, Jeff Buckley, singer and guitarist, Jeff Buckley, who, as many people will remember, died when he went for a dip in the Mississippi, it seems. There's a certain mystery about how it was that he actually came to die. But anyway, very, very young indeed. Gorgeous looking man, very charming, with the most exquisite voice, but also the power of a great, great interpreter. And Lilac Wine is a standard, you know. There are many other recordings of Lilac Wine, and some of them beautifully done. But you'll look in vain for a performance which is so achingly tender and emotionally open as this performance. It's like a play almost, the way he sings it. It has so much history in it. It has so much feeling, so much experience for such a young man. And of course, you can't help but think of his early death while you hear it. But I personally think it's one of the truly the greatest tracks ever recorded in the whole of recorded sound.
That is a compliment indeed. But as you say, it's the way that Jeff Buckley did interpret songs.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a standard run through. Even if you'd heard the song a million times by a million other artists,
Buckley
did make songs his own.
Oh, he made, for example, Hallelujah, which came back into the flow a few years ago when that young woman sang it. His performance of that is greater than Leonard Cohen's performance. Song. It's just a remarkable. And then there are exuberant songs as well. I don't think, as far as I can make out, he didn't have any kind of death wish or anything of that sort. But he did feel, obviously, very intensely. Because the recording of Lilac Wine is almost painfully personal and intense. Almost like overhearing someone having a kind of an emotional collapse. It's just extraordinary.
Simon, thank you for coming in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.